Insurance isn't one size fits all. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years now. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they'll show you options that fit your budget. So whether you're picking out your first policy or just looking for something that works better for you and your family, they make it easy to see your options. Visit Progressive.com. Find a rate that works for you with the Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're going to hate me for bringing it up, but I did see that viral ad.
Bring it up. Which one?
Was there multiple?
Which one?
The Vagisil one. Was it Vagisil?
What, the Femfresh?
Femfresh, yeah.
Femfresh. That was my recent ad before I went on Love Island. Oh.
Welcome back to another episode of Girls Know Nothing. Introducing our upcoming guest, who is renowned for her delightful TikToks and her rollercoaster ride in season 10 of ITV's hit dating show, Love Island. Molly Marsh is on the path to becoming a TV presenter, yet her journey began as a content creator with a substantial following. Today, she's leveraging her platform to make a positive impact on the upcoming generation. So welcome to the studio, Molly. We probably are sick of talking about Love Island, but I feel like I have to ask you anyway, because we all know that's what everybody wants to hear. And if I get it done out of the way now, then you can relax and not focus on it. So I kind of dipped in and out of your series. I knew who you were straight away because you had that shocking dumping and then you got put back in.
I know.
So you were like the whole drama of the series. But I did hear a lot of speculation that you were put in there for the drama based off your acting career previously. And like, is that true?
I heard about this when I come out and I was like, what? There were so many things. My mum's an ITV producer. There was all sorts. And I was like, I don't know where this has been pulled from. But then I found out that people were saying I was a plant because of, you know, I did some work for ITV before. Like I went to the villas before. This was all for like promo on YouTube and TikTok. And I thought, do you know what? I'm going to go for this. This is fun. Why not? Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
And then little did I know, year after, I'd be actually doing the show. But that's where it come from, definitely.
So you don't have anyone that's family members that are working for ITV?
No, absolutely not. No.
Do you know what? When people, like, I think people that don't know much about television don't realise that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself to be a plant.
Yeah.
Because you literally change your entire life, like even if it is for dramatic effect.
And like we were saying, like a plant, right, is to make drama. I am the least person who would want to make drama. If anything, I stay out of it. So I was like, yeah, that's not me.
Oh, so what swayed your decision to go back in then? Like, did you know you were going to go back in, or was it just a random spur of the moment thing?
It was just got a phone call and they were like, would you go back? Like, what would you do if you went back? I was like, well, I want Zach back. And that's what I want. So they were like, right, okay. We'd go tomorrow. I was like, yes, get me back in there.
It happened that quickly.
Yeah, I was home for 3 days in London and then got a phone call. And they were like, would you go tomorrow? I was like, yes, please, let's go. But at this point, I'd obviously been watching the show since coming out. I was angry, I was sad, I was upset, I was excited. There's so many emotions. I was like, please, let's just go back.
Do you think it helped or hindered you that you were able to see everyone's comments before going back in?
I think it probably hindered me, you know, because I went back in knowing what people have been saying, knowing what Zach's been getting up to. And obviously, you know, you're seeing an hour of their 24 hours, but it still was, oh my goodness, I wish I kind of never saw this.
Yeah, because it's everything's taken for dramatic effect, isn't it? And then like even with my series, when I left and I watched certain episodes back, had I known that piece of information, my reaction and decisions would have been completely different.
Yeah. I agree.
So did it, but you still wanted to go back in for that?
Still wanted to go back in.
I mean, you were with
him
now, so obviously.
Yeah. Like, yeah, literally. I knew the plan, I knew what I wanted to do, I knew what could come of it. It was just how, and then given the opportunity to go back and actually have that chance, it was like, yeah, let's do it.
I know that everyone, I mean, we spoke about how it hindered you that you were able to read everyone's comments and stuff online, and we know that being in an environment like the villa is super intense. And I did see actually that Zach spoke about how he found it really difficult because his routine was completely wiped out. But for you, how did you cope? Like, what was your coping strategies like?
Do you know what? At home, I spend a lot of time on my own.
Yeah.
And the one thing for me was just always being like, you're always talking to people, you're always surrounded with people, you never really get alone time. So when it had come to like lunch or any time you can just take a minute I would just take myself off, have a minute in the pool, go have a nap, put just like lie down. There's sometimes I'd go on the day beds, I'd just sing to myself. I thought I felt so sorry for the gallery and the mic, but I would just lie there and sing. So mine was just like getting my alone time of just my own headspace and not thinking about anything to do with Love Island or what I'm doing right now, just proper in my own little world. And that really helped me.
People forget that you are literally surrounded by the same people 24/7 and you can't even go to another room if someone's annoyed you because there are no other rooms.
Because even if you are like, you go off somewhere, you're still chatting to producers or you're still always talking about the show.
Yeah.
You never switch off.
It is literally, it consumes your entire life and that's why it's super intense. Mm-hmm. But do you think that, obviously everyone knows that Love Island has lasting impact on your life, but is there anything that you would actually take from your actual experience that you think will have a lasting impact on you?
Yeah, do you know what? Opening up more, I feel like the first few days in the villa, I was like completely like in my own head. I didn't even speak to the producers about how I felt, nothing. I was just like in my own head. I'll be fine. And it got to a point where everyone was like, you need to speak to us more. You need to speak about this. Tell us how you feel about this. And I feel like in there, I learned to definitely open up and talk to people. Yeah. I'm very independent in the sense I'll sort it out myself. Don't need help. I'm fine. But yeah, I think I'll definitely take that from the villa. Just talking to people.
The producers are very good at getting you to trust them.
Yeah.
And like building that really good friendship. So I think I remember for me, they would like start talking to you about your bikini and then all of a sudden you're telling them what you think about every single person in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you go back in and you're like, I can't believe I've just said that. But that's how they make the show, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's really good to have those takeaways. I think actually it did the opposite to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to tell people anything anymore.
Yeah.
Because then it ends up like me doing...
Become more private.
Yeah, well, I think so. Which it's kind of hard to do, isn't it?
I know. And that was what I found difficult as well, is I am a very private person at home. Like, I just keep things to myself. If it's my business, I won't share it just because it creates problems. And I feel like in there, it's such a place where you have to talk. Yeah. It's not a place to be private. Loads of people are watching in. I didn't really think about that, think it through properly. So I definitely learned to talk more and not be so private.
Well, I mean, you say you're a private person, but you were a content creator before, mm-hmm. and you did have a substantial amount of followers before even going into the villa.
Yeah.
So how did you even manage to have that as a private life and that as a job?
I don't know really. I feel like I share the things that I would want to see from someone else.
Yeah.
So like I watch a lot of YouTube. I've been on TikTok and, you know, following other social media creators. So feel like I just post things that I want to see.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I was going to ask you how you like cover making engaging content, but then also trying to stick to what's authentically you when mm-hmm. there is so much out there.
Yeah, because obviously there's things that make you happy, what you want to post and what you enjoy. Like I love vlogging. I love YouTube because I can just chat to a camera and it's just so natural. But it's like people don't really care about that. Before I went into the villa, I had I think 6,000 subscribers on YouTube and I'd post every Sunday for about 3 years. And that was just because I loved it. And at the end of the day, I'm not getting paid from this. Like you'd get the odd whatever here, there and everywhere, but it's not going to pay the bills. So it's like just doing whatever I wanted to do. And I'm still doing that now. I said, I didn't want to kind of change anything from before or after villa. Like I'm just going to carry on doing the exact same things because I love it. And I know what my audience likes as well from before, because they were all really young girls before I went into Love Island. And now it's just obviously a bigger, wider platform, which I'm so grateful for.
You're going to hate me for bringing it up, but I did see that viral ad.
Bring it up. Which one?
Was there multiple?
Which one?
The Vagisil one. Was it Vagisil?
What, the Femfresh?
Femfresh, yeah.
Femfresh. That was a recent ad before I went on Love Island.
Oh. Do you know what it always gets you? Because there was one person in my series that did one about manscaping and that ad came back to haunt them. So, you know, you won't be the only one, but when I saw
Loud and proud.
I was on TikTok and I think that was the first thing that I saw from like you.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is fair
Go
enough.
Girl.
But you gotta pay the bills. But you know, there are so many people that now want to break into that industry. And like mm-hmm. you said, having 6,000 subscribers on YouTube doesn't necessarily pay the bills. No. So what would be your biggest piece of advice for people that want to move into the social media space?
That's a good question. I feel like just stick to doing your own thing. I feel like there's so many people that kind of want to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And jump on the bandwagon of what you're kind of meant to do as an influencer and what you should be doing. And like, I just don't think that's a vibe. I feel like just do your own thing, do what you want to do. Don't really worry about what people think. And probably getting into it is just, well, I got into it by just starting as a hobby at high school, doing Musical.ly before it was TikTok. So I feel like,
oh my God, I remember that app.
Oh my goodness, I loved it. So I feel like if people are wanting to get into it now, start off wherever you want to start off. If that's making chatty TikToks and that's it, or if it's making YouTube videos, because if it makes you happy, it's going to then resonate to the audience, isn't it?
I think everyone that I know or have spoken to that literally does it for a living started off because they just wanted to do it for fun. They never go in with the intention of this is what's going to be my main source of income. It's always just been like, this is what I love to do. And then it actually shows in your content.
Yeah, definitely.
To be a female content creator is so much harder than to be a male content creator, I think, because there is, especially if you've come off a show like Love Island, because there is so much pressure on you to look a certain way, but not to encourage certain behaviors. How do you navigate that? Like, how do you, like, because you've been doing it for a lot longer than anyone from your series, assuming.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that I just stayed very true to myself. I think before I went into Love Island, had so many young, I'd say like 13-year-old girls that followed me on TikTok, YouTube and Instagram. And if I'd meet people in public, that's when I'd kind of be like, right, okay, so I've got a really young audience here. I've got a younger sister, she's 15. And all I care about is being the right role model to them.
Yeah.
So I'd always just post fun and engaging things with my sister because people loved it. It was just entertaining. And then more about like confidence. So when I was growing up, I loved watching Zoella. And that's because she was just so open and honest and such a nice, down-to-earth person. But then I'd also be scrolling when I was younger and see so many edited photos. And that's when I'd start going, oh my God, I need to look like this. And it was just not good. So I feel like growing up, I've tried to be the role model to my sister in the sense that I've always shown her that this is okay and this is okay. And if your skin looks like this today, that's also okay. And just making sure my sister understands then was like, right, okay, if you're going to build an audience now, Molly, and you're getting people viewing your stuff, they're going to also want to see the same thing.
Yeah.
And you can also influence them just as much as your little sister. So
how do you
carry that on?
How do you deal with like negative comments though? Because I feel like even as a woman, sometimes when you think you're doing the right thing, there'll always be one person that says you're not.
Yeah.
And you always focus on the negatives rather than the positives, right?
Yeah. As soon as I come out the first time when I got dumped, I went straight onto my phone because I was excited.
You always want
your phone back and you look through everything. I did look through everything and the negativity did get to me. I was like, right. And then as soon as I found out I was going back in, I said, Mol, next time you come out, you're not looking that deep into anything.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that. So I didn't. I haven't done it since I've come out. Okay. And Zach
always- You probably
always,
went about the time, right?
No, but Zach checks up on me all the time. He's like, how are you doing? Like, how are you feeling? Because I'm like, right, I'm like, what's happened? And he's like, there's just quite a few negative things on this comment or this post. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, as long as he knows what's going on, if there's something really, really bad, he can let me know.
Yeah.
But as long as he knows what's going on, I'm kind of just blind to it. I'd rather that be a thing because the moment I see something, I'm going to be...
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, I'd rather not know. Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like, it's one of those things that I think that you just can never do... You can't do right from wrong. Like there will always be somebody that's frustrated with what you're doing.
Yeah.
And like, I always say this to girls that come up to me and be like, I want to do this. Like, how do I start? And I'm like, you have to just not care what other people think and do what you want to do. Otherwise you're going to get suckered in and trying to make people happy when it's impossible to make everyone happy all of the time.
And I'm definitely someone that does things for myself. And like, if I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. And not do things just to please people. And I feel like I've had quite a lot of praise on that as well since coming out. I think people have kind of noticed little things. So I've really appreciated that. And like I say, Zach's got my back. He really has. So he's always like checking up on me. And I'm glad he sees it though, because he'll understand what's going on. But I don't have a clue.
Well, you've shared that experience, right? So they can, when you share that experience with somebody, they understand what you're going through more than anyone else.
Yeah.
Do you think it's helped your sister to know, like to see you as a content creator and knowing what is real, isn't real?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think the more like influencing the social media is getting bigger as well. It's like the more relatable people are coming out and then the more people who are coming out are following the trends and there's just... More, what's it called when they're just being like thrown out? It's just coming more of a...
I have no idea.
What's it called? Conveyor belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just becoming more like that. And I feel like when I see something that I like, I'll save it and I'm like, right, I'm going to do that. So like side by side body pictures in the gym, I love them. Or like what I ate in the mornings versus what I ate on the Sunday or something. I love things like that where it's just like, I feel better now. I've seen that. I'll save it. I'm like, I'm going to post that because I like it.
I saw something actually, and it was like people that actually get up at 5 a.m. every morning don't have to post about it because that's just how they live their life.
Yeah.
So when you see someone that's like always on Instagram being like, I get up at 5 o'clock every morning, chance that they probably don't.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. And there's so many people actually doing it and they don't post on social media.
Yeah. Why would you want to be okay with getting up at 5 a.m.? Yeah. That's what I want to know. But you did originally come from a background from acting. Is that right?
Yeah.
Where did you train?
Mad College in Nottingham.
Well, I say that like I know the difference between all of them.
Well, basically when I left school, I was 15, 16 when you leave school. And I was like, I want to go to drama school. That's what I want to do. I want to be in the West End. Like that's all I had my mind set on. And then I didn't want to move out to London at 15, 16. So the closest place that did a musical theatre course and the same tuition and the same training was in Nottingham. So I went there for 3 years. Absolutely loved it. Mum has always been in like the TV industry. So she's always been into it. My sister has. She's in the voiceover industry. And she does musicals herself as well. So it's kind of running in the family. I was like, I'm going to go drama school because that's what I want to do. Went there. Absolutely loved it. And then social media came about and it was like, well, when money's involved, it's a business thing.
Yeah.
It's like social media is so current right now. Why not take off with it? So it kind of got put on the back burner for a little bit.
Nottingham's still quite a far like distance from where you're from, isn't it?
Yeah, about over an hour drive, I reckon.
Oh, okay. I was thinking it was maybe longer than that, but still at 16 to move away from home, still a big deal.
Yeah, it was. Definitely matured me pretty quick though.
Do you think like, there's a general rule that people that go to performing arts schools or like train to be dance or whatever do mature really quickly because of how intense moving the environment is.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And you feel like you learn so much discipline and like you learn so much about yourself from drama school, like the whole turning up on time. Okay. Well, you're not in the show if you're not on time and all those little things that build you to be that type of person with that confidence. Yeah. It definitely all comes from the training.
I mean, I didn't really plan to ask you about this, but I always imagine it to be a really catty environment, like because it's so competitive.
Oh,
like so
absolutely.
People want to do it, but there's very few, like a show will have the set amount of people.
Yeah.
How do you cope with that as a challenge?
Yeah, I struggled at drama school. It was, when you get your casting type, you are this type of person. I always be like the girl next door, always that type of role. You just kind of get used to it. It's like when you're in, you know, in the industry, this is like, you're going to be your casting type and all of that. But it's like, it's very competitive and you live with people and it's nonstop. So do you know what? It kind of built me ready for Love Island.
Yeah. Because you have a casting type in Love Island.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Is social media the reason why you kind of haven't carried on pursuing like a career in the West End, or is that something you want to go back to?
Well, I graduated into COVID times from drama school. Okay. So there were no auditions to go to.
Yeah.
So it was like, right, well, I'll work from home and I'll carry on social media. So that's what I did. My following started building up, I think around 700K at this point on TikTok. And I was like, okay, I could earn money from this now. And I was.
Yeah, 700K is insane.
It was then a full-time job. And I was like, wow. But I was like, oh, I miss the theatre. So I was like, right, panto at Christmas, do a bit of both. So then I got back into pantomimes at Christmas and did social media through the year. And that balance was really nice.
Yeah.
And then obviously Love Island came about. Well,
the thing is with pantos, it's not actually at Christmas. You probably started like in the summertime, right?
Yeah, you do like a month. Yeah, a few months before. It's not very long when you do a panto contract, which I also liked because you can do, obviously, I can do a bit of both.
Are we going to see you in panto again at Christmas?
I want to. Yeah,
I would love to come see that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm going to get back into it.
I know that you have mentioned that you want to use your platform for something really, really good. Mm-hmm. And because of your performing arts background, you want to help young people pursue performing arts careers.
Yeah.
You know, like how do you plan on doing that? Because it's quite a big task.
Yeah. I feel like when I was younger, I went to dance class every day after school. And it was one of those things where it was like, all I did was school, dance, go home. And I had like a family at dance, like so many friends. It was just so good to have that place to go to. And again, your discipline, your confidence, everything's building whilst you're there. And my sister went to like a Saturday school when she goes dancing as well, but then also a Saturday drama school. My mum used to run a drama school. And I feel like seeing the kids in there, getting them off the streets and doing things like that and having something for them to look forward to and shows and stuff like that is just amazing. And I went to visit Chicken Shed and they are a company that, you know, get children off the streets. They are doing shows and all sorts. And that's something that I want to get into to really encourage that, especially to my followers, knowing that they are younger as well.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you about your visit with Chicken Shed, because I actually didn't know anything about it till I saw your visit. So what was that like? Like, what did you do?
It was amazing. We literally had a tour. Me and Zach had a tour around their facilities and just had a chat about, you know, what we could do potentially in future. Like, I'd love to go and join in one of their shows and just support them and just get involved with what they do. So, yeah.
Do you think the arts are taken seriously by people?
No, not as much as they should. Like, Zach even had an eye opener to everything when he was walking around. He was like, wow, like, he thinks all of his stuff like a sport, you know, basketball, get everyone off the streets and stuff like that. But it's like performing arts as well, Saturday school, or even if you're training through the week or dance after school, like, there's so much to it.
Because I do think sports is underfunded generally for young people, but when you compare the arts to sport, like, they get nothing in comparison. I don't really know why that is. Like, it has the same impact on people and your confidence and your well-being and, like you said, discipline. If you don't show up on time for a game or show up on time for rehearsals,
it learns your life skills.
Yeah, definitely. Why do you think it's really important that somebody like yourself, who's come off a big show or has a big platform, to actually do something good with it?
I feel like there's such a stereotype to people coming off Love Island, as you probably know yourself, and it's just like, I don't want to do that. Like, I didn't even expect to go on the show. And when it came about, like I just said, I've always said everything will happen for a reason. And everything to do with Love Island before I went on happened for a reason. I was like, I've got to do it. I've got to go with this because there's something good that's going to come of this because I can tell. I can feel it. So I went with it. And then now I'm just like, I don't want to change anything. And I don't want to become this stereotypical Love Islander. I don't want to do that. So I'm just kind of sticking to that. And yeah, just doing my thing, really.
I think it's really irritating when people think of people that have done Love Island as like really stupid, because I actually think that they might not everyone is conventionally bright on paper, but that's just how society works. Yeah. And I think it's really irritates me when you just assume that we're all really stupid, because everyone has like a purpose, right? Like you said, this is what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And I felt like when I went on it, my purpose was to do what I do.
Yeah.
And I think it's irritating because every single person I know has a thing they want to do, like a purpose. And then it just gets pushed to the side because everybody wants to talk about the mistakes that we make as people. I love asking people that have freshly come out of the villa, like, what your big ambitions are. Like, if you could say, if like your manager could ring you tomorrow and be like, this, I've got this for you, and it's your dream deal or your dream job, what would it be?
Yeah, it would definitely be a children's television presenter, whether that's CBBC, CBeebies, Milkshake. Do you know when you used to do bedtime stories?
Oh my God, yeah, I remember Milkshake. I
absolutely love that. So yeah, some sort of television presenter, but I want to kind of keep my theatery, dancey background within that.
Yeah.
So like Strictly, those Dancing on Ice, those like theatrically shows where I could also, you know, host, present, chat, something that can just do that.
Do you think it'd be really hard to go into children's presenting after doing Love Island?
Mm-hmm. I personally think so, but I'd hope not. Because before I was like, you know, I was thinking about these things because I know what I've always wanted to do, and that is children's TV. So when before Love Island, I was thinking about, you know, is this going to kind of hinder my chances of ever doing that? And I'm just thinking, well, we'll just see what happens. I hope not.
Is that what do you think that was one of the reasons why you behaved the way you did?
Oh yeah, I'm a very PG person as it is.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, I don't drink, don't go out. I'm not a very out there person. I'm not very wild.
To be
very
fair, boring. Everyone I know that doesn't drink is still just as fun, so.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So it was one of the things where I knew I'd be okay. You know, I'm not gonna do anything silly. I'm not gonna misbehave. So yeah, it shouldn't really.
I like that. One thing I really like about you is that you actually stuck to your boundaries, because I feel like when you're in there, sometimes it's really easy to be persuaded, maybe not by like the hierarchy of the show, but like people in the villa.
Oh yeah,
it's really easy to be persuaded when someone says something to you and you're trying to revoke reaction out of you.
yeah.
to like not stick to your boundaries.
Oh yeah. It was difficult, but I definitely stuck to it.
I always find that when you leave the villa, there's always mad rush to just grab everything and mm-hmm. make these really big, drastic life changes.
Yeah.
But you've stayed where you originally came from.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then everyone knows that the industry's so London centric. So mm-hmm. like how will you manage, if you get a presenting job, for example, yeah. like how are you going to manage your content creation with your younger sister? And then the London centric.
I mean, do you know, there's so much up north. I feel like in Doncaster, you have an hour drive to Manchester or an hour and a half train to London. So I feel like we're in a place where it's easily commutable. Like even when people would ask about me and Zach, how's it going to work? It's so easy to get an hour and a half train and see Zach.
Because he's London based, isn't he? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So at the minute I'm just crashing here, there and everywhere, but I'm still at home in Doncaster because obviously I create my content with Maisie at home. But she's going to be moving to London soon when she goes to drama school.
Oh, wow. So she's also going to go to drama school.
Yeah, she'll be going to drama school too. So it's like, we're just waiting to see what happens. But if I did ever get a presenting role, I mean, there's obviously, it's all kind of in Manchester and obviously there's stuff in London as well. It's also easily commutable. It's like, I'm just manifesting.
I'm going to call it now. When she moves, your move.
When Maisie moves, I move.
Yeah,
that's what I think. Mum and dad would cry.
At least you're in the same place, roughly. Yeah. But no, I think, I've tried to get my brother to try and explore the big city, but he's not into it. So no. he's a country boy at heart. So I'm a little bit jealous that you've got a sister that wants to do that stuff. I always ask my guests the same final question. And I want to know if you could offer a piece of advice to your younger self based on your life and career journey so far, what would it be?
Take every opportunity. I feel like if you just take everything as it comes, not think about things too much, everything's going to be good. Because I feel like there's times where I would have gone, I'm not too sure, but just go with it. I feel like everything happens for a reason. So it's come into your life for a reason. So just go with it.
Like second opportunities are going back into the show.
There we go.
Yeah, I know. I think that's amazing. And you know, when you make the decision at the time, it's the decision you wanted to make.
Yeah.
So just go with it and see what happens.
Definitely.
Oh, well, I'm really excited to see what you get up to. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.